Morning.
Good morning.
Send it on the Lord one more time.
He's been faithful up until now.
Yes.
Continue to be the same. He's a faithful God. We thank him. Desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I mean to go on too, brother. And I mean to go through. And by the help and grace of God, we can do it. Thank the Lord. Also want to say, my heart goes out to those that were affected by what happened yesterday. It's right where we live. Literally right around the corner, so to speak. And we just pray that God would extend his love and his mercy and his grace. I think about, this is not the message, but sometimes when different situations take place, the politically correct thing to say is thinking about people. Oh, our thoughts are with you. I want you to know this morning, your thoughts can't do nothing.
Amen.
Me and anybody else thinking about difficult things that people are going through is not going to change a thing.
Amen.
They need prayer. So let's pray that God would comfort and strengthen and uphold in this time. And let's pray for our world, because our world needs prayer. But as the brother mentioned this morning, God is yet on his throne. And we can be assured and know that as we go through this life, we don't have to live in fear, because God is in control. And you know, the most important thing as we think about the world that we live in and all the things that are going on, the best thing that each and every one of us could do is just to be ready to go. Because we don't know when our time is going to be, so help us to be ready. Amen. Have a thought this morning. It's kind of a, maybe a, not a typical title, but I suppose you could say it's a question, and it's also a choice. Making excuses or whatever it takes. I think about just in life, just different things that we go through, different things that we experience. In life, you know, there are times when excuses are okay. I think about, you know, maybe you children sometimes have to miss school, right? And there's that's considered an absence. And sometimes those absences are considered an excused absence, right? Or it could be an unexcused absence. And when you think about an excused absence, it's basically acknowledgement of the reason why you weren't at school today is a valid reason. Maybe you were sick, right? And you have a note from your parents that said, you know, so-and-so missed school today because they were sick. Or maybe you were out of town, and so you missed school because you were out of town. So in those types of instances, really an excuse is valid. It's all right. You know, there are times, even as adults maybe, that we have to miss work. Right? It happens, right? We get sick sometime. Maybe there's an emergency or something that takes place that you say you have to call and say, you know what, I can't come to work today because of this situation that took place and my attention is required here. Or maybe there's been a loss, a loved one or something that has passed away, and you just you miss work. And that's considered an acceptable excuse. You know, you can't really call up and say, I'm going to miss work today because I'm tired. You know, if you have an excuse like that, they might tell you, well, why don't you just stay home tomorrow too?
Come on now.
It's not really valid. Yeah, I think about, you know, growing up, there were different times when our parents maybe would go somewhere and they would leave us at home, and some of the older ones would be in charge, and they would give us a list of responsibilities, some things that we had to do.
Yes.
And it was our responsibility while they were away, you know, to take care of the things that they told us to do. And it was their expectation was when they got back, they expected the things that they instructed us to do, they expected them to be done.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we came and they came back. It's not like I could say, well, I didn't have enough time, or, well, see what happened. I didn't do this because of this other thing that took place. They weren't listening for that. They wanted the task that they had assigned. They wanted it to be done.
Right.
I remember one of the things that my mother did. She would tell us to clean our room. And she would give us an allocated time to clean it. And then she would come back and she would check on it. I shared a room with one of my brothers. And when she came back into the time when she said she was coming back, and if the room wasn't clean, this was not fun. Because what she would do, everything that was not in the proper place that it was supposed to be in, she would pull it out and start making a pile in the middle of the room. I couldn't say, well, I didn't have time. She said, when I come back, this needs to be done. There was no excuse that I could give her that was going to be acceptable. So she just made a big, I thought, maybe before it was just a few things, but now I really had some cleaning to do.
A whole bunch of stuff.
You know, there's a account in the Bible, in the 14th chapter of Luke, about some that were given a special invitation to a supper, to an event. Let's read about it. 14th chapter of Luke, starting at the 15th verse, reading down through verse 20.
And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard the saying,
And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things,
he said unto him,
Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.
Then said he unto him,
A certain man made a great supper,
and he bade many.
And he sent his servant at supper time
to say to them that were bidden,
Come.
For all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse.
The first said unto him,
I have bought a piece of ground. And I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said,
I have bought five yoke of oxen.
And I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And then another said, I've married a wife. And therefore,
I cannot come. Go ahead and read verse 21 as well. Through verse 24.
So the servant came. And shewed his lord these things. Then the master of the house,
being angry, said to his servants,
Go out quickly into the streets
and the lanes of the city,
and bring in hither the poor, the maimed,
and the maimed,
and the halt,
and the blind.
And the
blind.
And the servant said,
Lord,
it is done as thou hast commanded.
And yet there is room. Yet there is room.
And the Lord said unto the servant,
go out into the highway. Go out into the highways
and the hedges.
And compel them to come in.
That
my house may be filled.
For I say
unto you
that
none of those men which were bidden
shall taste of my supper.
As we read here, we find that there was a great effort that was put into this supper. And it seemed like I could imagine that there was probably in advance, the one that was putting this on reached out to those that were invited. And no doubt there was specific things. This is the time and this is the place where this is going to happen. Are you going to be there? And I'm sure that those that were invited, they gave their knowledge or they RSVP'd to say, you can count on me, I will be there. And you can understand that the great effort, though anyone that has ever put on any kind of event where you've invited people to, you know there's a great effort that goes into that. And all the preparation that takes place and all the planning and everything. And here it's time to get started. It's ready. Everything is ready now. So all those that said, I'm going to be there, somehow they got a way to let them know, okay, it's ready. Come on now, you can come. Think of, as we read here, some of the excuses that were given. And they all, it says in the 18th verse, with one consent began to make excuse. The first one said unto him, well, I know I told you I was going to come. But what happened, I bought this piece of land. I bought some land, and now I can't come because I got to go see it. Wait a minute. Was the land going somewhere? Like tomorrow it was going to be gone. I committed, I said I was going to come, and now I can't because, see, this land. You know, I'm sorry, I made a commitment somewhere else. Okay, so if this land deal was still going to take place, it'll have to wait till tomorrow. I'll come and get it tomorrow, I'll come and see it tomorrow, so if somebody else comes and gets it before then, well, then I guess that land wasn't meant for me. Because I gave my word, you see. I said I was going to be there, so I want to honor my word, and I'll be there. So, I mean, we can look at it and say, that wasn't a very good excuse, was it? You know, and all these different ones that made excuses, maybe they could look at each of the excuses that was made and say, see, your excuse wasn't valid, but mine is. See, you got some land. The land is not going anywhere. That's not a valid excuse. But you see, I bought some oxen. And I got to make sure that what I bought, that I'm getting what I'm expecting. So I have to go and prove them. So see, that's important. See, my excuse is more important than yours because I have to prove these oxen. And if I don't prove them, then I'm going to be at loss for the money that I spent on them. So I got to prove them so that I can make sure that I'm getting what I paid for. Again, was that going to change overnight? Whether you did it yesterday, today, or tomorrow, they were still going to be oxen. Yeah. Nothing was going to change. Yeah. So was that really a good excuse? No. But see, that last one, he could have said, see, y'all, those are not valid excuses. Buying a piece of land, buying some oxen, those are not valid excuses, but I have a valid excuse because I've married a wife. And I was looking at this, and there was something in the Old Testament law where when a man married a wife, he had to spend a year with her. He couldn't go and go to work and different things. So maybe this one looked at it, see, that's why I can't come. But do you think maybe it crossed the, can I bring my wife? Can she come with me? But they didn't think about that. It's just one more guest. But all of these, just here an effort has been made and an excuse has been presented, and now I can't make it. Nothing in terms of, you know what, I gave my word. I said I was going to be there, so I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Yes.
So I'll be there. You know, excuses started early on in the beginning. Back in the Garden of Eden, when there was just two people and the animals. In the third chapter of Genesis, this is where the blame game started. Genesis, the third chapter, verses 11 through 13. You know what happens, just to give a context. Adam and Eve are in the garden, right? And they had everything at their fingertips. And there was one command that God said, it's all, everything you see is yours. There's just one thing. The tree in the middle of the garden, he said, don't eat of it. That was the only thing. Everything else that their eyes could behold was theirs.
Yeah. Right.
It's just, don't mess with that tree. But what about mankind? What is it within us? When somebody says, don't do something, what do you want to do? It's inbred within us, even as children, right? There's something within us that we need God to fix, really.
Yes.
So that when somebody says, don't do something, I can say, you know what? I have honor and respect for that person. And if they say, don't do it, I'm not going to do it. But as we know the story, they partook, didn't they?
Yes.
So now it came time. God came back. And he's wondering, okay, what happened now? So we pick up here in the 11th verse.
And he said,
Who told thee that thou wast naked?
Hast thou eaten of the tree?
Whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat.
And the man said,
The woman whom thou gavest to be with me,
she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is it that thou hast done? And the woman said,
The serpent beguiled me.
And I did eat.
So first of all, God knew something was wrong. Because their knowledge had changed.
Yes.
A death had occurred. Remember, God told him, if you eat of it, you're going to die.
Yeah.
There was a spiritual death that took place.
Amen.
Right then. So he knew something was wrong because they was hiding.
Yeah.
You know, God would come down in the cool of the day and visit with them. It's like mom and daddy coming home, and they gave you a list of things to do, and when you see them coming up the driveway, and you go and hide. They were hiding. Why are you hiding? What happened? You ate of the tree. That's what he already knew. He knew already. Why were they hiding like he didn't know? Like he wasn't going to see them. Like he going to be walking around, Adam, Eve, where are you? He knew where they were. You ate of the tree that I told you not to eat. Adam, what do you say now? What happened? You know who Adam blamed? He blamed it on Eve, right? It's the woman, Lord, see. But in actuality, he blamed God.
Yes.
He blamed God. He said, it's the woman that you gave me. You gave me this woman, Lord. So, Lord, it's your fault. No. Nobody made you.
Amen.
Nobody forced you down your throat. Nobody pried your mouth open and said, eat this. You took it in your hand and you bit it. You did it.
No excuse.
And then Eve's, here he pointing at her. Blame, here's the blame game. What do they say about when you point? Depending on how you point, how many fingers is coming back at you? Right? Even if I point with my thumb and my finger, if two is going out, three's coming back. Three is bigger than two all the time, right? The serpent beguiled. So now it's the serpent's fault. No. I'm making an excuse.
Right.
I've been laying a foundation here this morning because each and every one of us, we've been given a special invitation.
Right.
We've been given a special invitation.
Yes.
There's a song that we sing that talks about a city. Said, let's go to the city. And in one of the verses it says, it describes the city. It says there's a city of gold, I believe it is. There's a city, 497. There's a city of gold in that land. There's a city, I've been told. That's a different song. With the gates of pearl, and it has streets of gold. And it's a city. It's a walled-in city. It's on eternal heights, where it's always day and it's never night. So there's the description of this city that's somewhere. And it says, let's go. Let's go to that city. Well, how can we go? Well, the third verse says, I've been invited.
Yes.
I've been invited to go to this city.
Yes.
So now that I've been invited, just like these ones that was invited to this great supper, you've gotten an invitation.
Yes.
I gotta go.
Yes.
What's gonna be the benefits of going? Yes. To see my Lord,
praise the Lord,
who loves me so. I'll get to see his face and his glory share, and then ever rejoice with the angels there.
Amen.
So I've got a special invitation to this city that's got streets of gold, where God Almighty is.
Yes.
I've received a special invitation.
Yes.
What more do you need? You've gotten a special invite. Is there some other incentive that's required for you to want to go? So are you going to go? Do you plan to get there? There's instructions that he's given us. Things that we have to do in order to get there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We can't just go and show up at the gates. He's got requirements for us.
Yeah.
Right? We got to get to know him, right?
Yes.
We got to get to know him for ourselves.
Yes.
We got to give our hearts and our lives to him.
Yes.
Right here.
Yes.
Because this is our proven ground in order to be able to get to that seat.
Yes.
Are you going to make it? Are you making excuses or are you willing to do whatever it takes? Do you want to go? I mean, hey, everybody's going to say, of course I want to go. Why wouldn't I want to go? It sounds wonderful. And there's so many other songs that describe our the mansions. Not just one.
Yeah.
Mansions.
Yeah.
So all of us can say, I want to go. But am I willing to do whatever it takes to get there? Or am I going to make some excuses? You know what the, there's not too many guarantees in life. You know, you think about just in a natural sense. Somebody say, I guarantee if you do this, this will happen. Not always the case. Not always the case. But there is something that I guarantee you this. If you follow the instructions that God has given us in this word, then you will make it to that city.
Amen.
I guarantee it.
Amen.
But I have a special reason. I have different situations than you have. You don't know about my family. I have these siblings. This is my surroundings. My circumstances. My parents. My children, my spouse. See, all of these things, they're hindrances to me. And if it wasn't for them, then I would be willing to do whatever it takes. There's one thing that is certain, that is required of every single one of us. We will stand before God one day. That's a given. So me knowing that, I know one day I'm going to have to stand before God.
Yeah.
Knowing that, you know, if there's something that you know that you're going to have to do,
yes,
right? On your job, if you know tomorrow I have to give a presentation or I have to speak to somebody, are you going to prepare for it? Or are you just going to, I'll just wait till tomorrow and I'll just off the cuff? No, what are you going to do? You're going to prepare, right?
Yes.
I know I'm going to have to meet God.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be wise to be ready?
Yes. Amen.
So am I willing to do whatever it takes to get ready? Or I'm going to make excuses. I would have been ready. It's time for your presentation tomorrow. And everybody's standing and looking at you. And you say, I forgot. I'm sorry. That going to work? I stand before God. I'm here. I had every intention of following your instructions. But what happened was, are we going to be able to tell God anything where he's going to say, all right, I'm going to make a special exception for you because of these circumstances of your life, because of what you've described to me, you get a pass.
We know that.
Well,
oh, no.
There's a scripture that talks about that. It's in Romans, the second chapter, and the first verse. And it goes back, really, it relates to the excuses that those that were invited to the supper gave. Was one excuse better than another? How can you judge that? Because the person that's presenting the excuse has a bias, right?
Yes.
All of us, we're biased.
Yes.
We're tailored towards who? Ourselves. So you know what? God in his wisdom, he took away all the excuses.
Amen.
What does it say in Romans 2 and 1?
Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man.
Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man.
Whosoever thou art that judges,
for wherein thou judgest another,
thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest
the same thing. So God, he just said, you know what? There's no excuse for everybody is inexcusable. Because when I look at somebody else and see my circumstance is different from theirs, I'm judging myself when I do that. So there's nothing that we can say when we stand before God that he's going to accept. When I get ready to meet him, if I haven't done whatever it takes, and I've got 10 excuses ready to go, unfortunately, the words are going to be, depart from me.
Right.
I never knew. Knowing that this is not going to matter, what's the best choice? Right?
Yeah.
It's not going to end good.
Right.
It's not going to work.
Amen.
So the best thing for me to do is whatever it takes.
Amen.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
I'm willing to do it. You remember the story in the Old Testament? Y'all, Jacob and Esau. Remember Jacob stole Esau's birthright?
Yes.
Right? And then there came a point in time where they was going to have to meet together again.
Yeah.
And Jacob didn't know, even though he had repented and he had gotten right with God and for what he had done, he didn't know how he was going to be received, did he? So there came a point in time where the time before he was going to meet up with his brother.
Yeah.
He was in prayer.
Yeah.
And an angel came and visited with him.
Yeah.
And what happened in Genesis, the 32nd chapter, verses 24, 25, and 26. He got a visitation from an angel while he was in prayer.
And Jacob was left alone.
And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. When he prevailed not against him,
he touched the hollow of his thigh.
And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint.
As he wrestled with him. And he said,
Let me go.
For the day breaketh.
And he said, I'm not going to let you go.
Except thou bless me.
Except you bless me.
Amen.
We're talking about whatever it takes now.
Yes.
Jacob realized, I'm in a situation here. I don't know what's going to happen. And I hear I'm wrestling here with this angel, and I'm not letting go.
Yeah.
until something happens.
Yeah.
Till you bless me. Are we willing to do that? Lord, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to continue to seek after you until you bless me. I'm willing, Lord, to do whatever it takes. I got a special invitation. I got to get there. Does that mean it's going to be easy streets? We all have difficulty. Mine might look different from yours. You might look at mine and think it's easy. And I might look at yours and think, man, that brother, that sister, they sure have it easy. Isn't that saying about walking in somebody else's moccasins?
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter. I'm responsible for me.
Amen.
And at the end of the day, it's my decision of if I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Am I willing? There's another story in the Bible. We'll just summarize it for the sake of time. There was a woman that had an issue of blood. This is in the New Testament. If you want to find it, I believe it's accounted for in Mark and Matthew. She had an issue of blood for 12 years and spent all that she had on physicians for a healing of this situation that she had. She heard about Jesus. And somehow she got word that he was going to be passing by. And she did whatever she had to do. She said in her mind, I'm going to get in touch with him.
Yes.
If I could just touch his garment, then I believe, based on what I've heard about him, then I'll be made whole.
Yes.
So you can imagine in her mind, I don't know what her condition was, but as you know, people used to follow Jesus around. So I can imagine it was a crowd of people all around me.
Yes.
And if you've ever been in crowds of people anywhere, you know if it's centered around something, it's going to be hard to get through the crowd to get to whatever the center of what everybody's focusing on. I imagine she had to get low. She might have been crawling, I don't know. Crawling on her hands and knees. You know, maybe even having to endure some people. She crawling, you know, if you can imagine you walking around and you feel, I mean, natural reactions. You know, ow, somebody kicked me. I guess I'll just lay over here. No, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get to him. You know the story. She got there somehow, and she just touched the hem of his garment, and immediately she was made whole. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? It was for her, wasn't it? Whatever it takes. Maybe she had some bruises and things that she encountered on the way. Maybe some pain, but it was all gone just like that. Remember Jesus? What did he do for me? What did he do for you? When he was there in the garden, he prayed and he prayed and he prayed again. Whatever is necessary, he was willing to do it for me. Am I willing to do it for myself? He did the hard part.
Yeah.
Am I willing to do it for me? Am I willing to do whatever it takes? What choices are you making today? Are you making excuses? Or are you willing to do whatever it takes? There's a song It says, the title of the song is Whatever It Takes. It says, there's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree. And he whispers, draw closer to me.
Yes.
Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb. And a new place in me you will find. We gotta have to be willing to do whatever it takes.
Yes.
God's got some new heights for us to climb.
Amen.
God's got a new me that I gotta find. Because he's working on me. But I gotta be willing to do whatever it takes.
Yes.
Whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. Take my houses and my lands. Take my dreams. Take my plans. What does it matter? I'm going to put my life in your hands.
Yes.
I put my life in your hands. And if you call me someday to a land far away, Lord, I'll go and your will obey. Whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. What's your condition this morning? Is there room for improvement? You know that our everyday decisions that we make, we're either making excuses or we're doing whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're not closely acquainted with him this morning, why not? What are you waiting for? Get acquainted with him. We got to follow the instructions in order to get to that place that we've been invited to.
Yes, that's true.
If I find that I'm drifting away, I want to do whatever it takes so I can restore that closeness back with him.
Yes.
And you know what? Sometimes, like, Lord, I feel like I'm pretty close. Help me, Lord, to get a little closer.
Yes.
Do whatever it takes to get a little closer.
Amen.
So as you think about what's on the board this morning, there's nothing that's kind of like this. No. That doesn't exist. You either making excuses or you're ever willing to do whatever it takes. What side? We pick a side.
Yes.
It's my desire by the help and by the grace of God that I'll be willing to do whatever it takes.
Yes.
Whatever it takes. Because I've received a special invitation.
Yes.
And I'm trying to go to that city.
Yes.
Recognize that as we go through this life, I'm depending on God every step of the way. But by his grace and by his strength, I'm willing to do whatever it takes.